Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful singing tonight. You want to turn in your Bibles. We've got a couple announcements here I want to mention, but you can go ahead and go to the book of Psalms. We'll be back at Psalm 33. We will somewhat pick up where we left off this morning. It is good to have Robert and Mary. Is it Southard? Am I saying that correctly? Say again? Southard, excuse me. It's good to have you guys here, and they are not too far from here. They're sending church. They're in Rutledge, Georgia, Philadelphia Baptist Church, and they are in a ministry of church planting through furlough replacement. And they just have dropped in for our worship service tonight. It's good to have you folks. Thanks for being here. I know their pastor. I went to Bible college with him, Pastor Stephen Chambers, good brother in the Lord, and doing a great work there. And so thankful for his ministry. And it's good to have you folks here tonight. Did anyone get a pretty good nap this afternoon? I'm just curious. How many of you got a, yes, Brother Scott, I did too. I most definitely had a Baptist nap, okay? And I believe I was immersed a little too long. Those kids wore me out yesterday. I'm telling you what, been out there on that lake and yelling at them, carrying on. We had a good time, but I forget sometimes getting out there. And Brother Derek, you may be a witness here, but sometimes I forget I'm not 25 anymore. Amen, Brother Derek. You probably spent a little bit more time on that kneeboard at one time, didn't you? I was impressed, though. Brother Derek impressed me. He did a 360 on the kneeboard. Y'all can be happy for Brother Derek. Amen. He's doing good. But I'm not going to say what happened after that, okay? It was good, and but some of the aches and pains, and some of you are probably saying, "Preacher, you ain't seen nothing yet." I know. It's coming. But I'm thankful that the Lord can bless us with the ability to nap, and it does make things at least a little bit better. Amen? And thankful for that. But I'm rejoicing even more so in the good service we had this morning. Just a good spirit, and very thankful to be in a church that just loves to worship the Lord and praise Him and to be together, loves the Word of God. I'm grateful, so grateful for that. I count it a privilege. We're going to pick up here in Psalm 33. I'm going to try to not be as long tonight because of the other things that we need to do. But I do want to just pick up where we left off. This morning I preached a message entitled Living in Awe of the Almighty. Living in Awe of the Almighty. And we were there in verse number 8 was the text that we began with. And I'll read it together. We'll read it here. I'll read it out loud. You can read along with me silently. Psalm 33 verse 8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." We talked about how important it is for especially God's people to be in a spirit, an attitude of awe of Him around the clock. We rejoiced in His goodness. We talked about that in the context. The psalmist would address that right off in verse number 4 and 5, talking about that He is right and His work is done in truth. We talked about His righteousness and His judgment. Talked about of His goodness and that it's full of goodness even over the earth, but especially to God's people. Amen? Let me try that again. Isn't God's goodness a blessing, especially to God's people? Yes, it is. And He takes He takes the matter of being a wonderful Heavenly Father to His children. He takes that very seriously, and He proves that day in and day out that He is indeed a God who cares, a God who is good, even when bad is there. We talked about even in His sovereignty. We'll talk a little bit about that more tonight, but God is always good. And then we talked about how marvelous His creation is. And how majestic it truly is to the heart of every human being, but especially to His children, to just think about how awesome God is and His creation. And tonight, I wanted us to continue of what else this psalmist speaks of in keeping his awe of the Almighty. Let's begin with prayer. Father, this message is, again, impossible to give without Your power, without Your direction, without Your enabling. And Lord, I'm asking that You would help me to speak that which would honor You and help the hearer. And then, Lord, I do pray for those that are here tonight that they would listen with open hearts and be willing to just receive Your truth and to be helped by Your Spirit. So, God, we commit every part of this evening to You once again. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Again, living in awe of the Almighty, we talked about His goodness. We talked about His creation. But then thirdly, I want us to look at verses 10 and 11. And I want to talk about how we ought to trust in His control of the earth. In His control of all things. Look there in verses 10 and 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. My friends, this is simply talking about God's sovereign power, which we have spoke about that several times over the past couple months, and how that thing keeps reoccurring. I believe the Lord is teaching us to trust in His sovereign control. Can I say this? Every man and everything that takes place on this earth falls subservient to God's ultimate plan. Everything, every man falls subservient to God's ultimate plan. Even when man is in his evil condition, in his evil acts, God does not want that. He does not will that, but He will use that ultimately. Even in His sovereignty, He will use it for His ultimate plan. C.H. Spurgeon said, when God appointeth, none disappointeth. I heard it also said this, if the Lord hath done it, questions are out of the question. If the Lord hath done it, questions are out of the question. And truly, the Lord has done it. There may be a secondary agent, this author says. There may be a secondary agent. Yes, there probably is. The devil himself may be that second agent, yet the Lord hath done it. In other words, and again, in His sovereign control, He will take those things which were meant for evil and use it for good. He can do that. That's another reason to be in awe of Him even tonight. Man proposes, but God disposes. Listen, I heard it said like this. In fact, I believe it was Spurgeon. He said this, no doctrine in the whole world, there is no doctrine in the whole Word of God, I should say, no doctrine in the whole Word of God has more excited the hatred of mankind than the truth of the absolute sovereignty of God. You think about that through the ages. How man has rebelled against God's control. They detest the fact that the Almighty has a say in everything that takes place on this globe. But He does. He has everything to say about what takes place on this earth. And let's go ahead and make it personal, church. He has everything to say what happens in my life and in your life. God is in control. The council, even the heathen, he will bring to naught. You know, I do pray that many times, and I think it's a good, healthy prayer, that we ought to pray that God would bring the plans of Satan to naught. Because Satan is always trying to hurt us and harm us and ultimately destroy us. He wants to destroy our families, our church. And I often pray, Lord, I know Satan has a plan in this. I know Satan has a plan to hinder what you're doing here. I'll give you a perfect example. The upcoming revival with Brother Comfort. I believe Satan is working around the scenes, and I believe he's going to try everything he can to enter in and to hinder that work of revival that we so desperately need. But I want to say, God's people, we ought to say, Lord, you are able to bring his plans to naught. And believe that he will. God is in control of what is taking place in our lives, and please, my friends, may we be in awe for that reason, to know that the good and the bad, the things that come our way, God knew about it. God has allowed it in His perfect wisdom. It doesn't mean He willed it in the sense that it's the way He wanted, but sometimes because of the sin curse and the sin nature, things happen in such a way that we would not have chosen. But please, remember, go back to the first point. Do we believe in the goodness of God? Do we believe in the justice of God? Do we believe He's just? Do we believe that He will always do right? We have to go back to that and be encouraged. One of my, I should say, someone I have admired was in his character and his leadership ability, and even his Christian testimony was Stonewall Jackson. I love to study that man. I believe he really loved the Lord. And one of the comments that he made in an interview time about his confidence on the battlefield when he was going forth in very severe battles, Jackson answered this journalist and said, my religious belief teaches me that I'm just as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bed. The Lord has already appointed the day of my death, so I need not worry about that. I live my life and prepare myself so I will always be ready to meet my Lord when death does overtake me. Stonewall Jackson. That was a man that understood that God was in control. And listen, I do believe in premature death. I do in the sense God knows about it when it's going to happen. But the very fact that I believe men can go prematurely, that take their own life, that does happen tragically. And abuse of to themselves in many ways can end their life early. I believe that. But the fact of the matter is, as we live life for the Lord, we don't have to live in fear about things being out of control to God. The Lord knows it all, and we can be confident in Him and His control. And then we see that we are in awe of Him because of that. And now, can I just say one thing before we move to our next point? The thing of knowing the Lord and knowing that appointed time. I want to tell you this. We need to be wise, because some people can take that to an extreme and, quite frankly, get stupid. And I don't know that God blesses stupidity. Okay? I believe He has mercy a lot of times when we're stupid. Okay? But His blessings, but we're going to talk about what God blesses. I believe God blesses those that revere Him and are in awe of Him. Amen? That is what God loves to bless. So we see here, number four, that we are in awe that He is in control. But then Also, look at verses 13 through 15. It goes on to talk about the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And look there in verse 15. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. I believe in this passage, in this, these few verses here, I do sense that the Lord has a keen interest in being involved in each of our lives. That's awesome. That God cares about me, a little speck of dust on this earth in comparison to all His greatness and glory. He cares enough about this little speck of dust who fails Him more times than He likes to admit, but He cares enough about me to want to be totally involved in my life. Why? Because He created me so that He could have a personal relationship with me. Remember, that was the intention. That was the plan in the beginning. Okay, God formed man, Adam and Eve. There was a relationship there. There was a communion. They were created for the glory of God. And sin came into the picture and messed it all up. But that has not removed, thank God, His desire to be involved in my life. And if you don't believe it, just gaze to Calvary. You will see exactly proof that God still wants to be involved in your life. Look to Calvary, where Jesus shed His blood. I want to tell you, God wants to be involved in our lives. And that term there that we see in our passage, He fashioneth their hearts alike. He has created us to want Him. He has created us with a desire to have a relationship with Him. And what has happened is sin, of course, has messed that up, has separated that. And then there's a matter of needing to submit the will. But I want to tell you, I'm convinced of this, Brother Christian. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I am convinced that every person is born on this earth, that comes in this earth with a need, at least a sense of a need for God. A need for something higher. Wherever it, category you want to put it, but where I know this is where it gets messed up. It goes from every man needing, knowing they need something, but then wanting it. The exercise of the will. Oh yes, I want my Creator. I want His will for my life. I want the salvation that He's offering. I'm willing to submit myself to that. That's where it ends for many. But God has created us to need Him, to have that relationship with Him. He has fashioned our hearts alike. And we see that we ought to be in awe of that. Listen, does it give you any awe in your life, brothers and sisters in Christ, that God looked down upon you in mercy and drew you by His Spirit to save you and to be in a relationship with you? Does that do anything to your heart tonight? It should give us a sense of awe that the Almighty has looked down upon us. Oh, my friends, that's something to rejoice in. That's something to smile about. That's something to shout about. That's something, if you even want to get up and run about. Amen. Praise the Lord. You just want to make sure the Spirit's in it if you ever get up and start running. My pastor tells me about one time some folks got excited in church, and as several guys got up, boy, they got excited. The preaching, it was pretty neat to see it. But then, as they were running, one somehow got so excited, he made his way outside. And my pastor was a boy. He was probably, I don't know, about 12 or 13 years old. One made outside. One was still running. But then one decides he was going to go outside too. Well, the one outside was trying to come in at the same time. and they hit the door at the same time. Boom! Fell back. My pastor said, I just don't know if the spirit was in that one. But folks, listen, we ought to get in awe and excited about what God has done for us. The way He has fashioned us. The way He has made us. And I believe that God would be glorified as we do that. But then, I want us to see verses 16 and 17 as we're getting ready to come to a close here. Now, verses 16 and 17, it talks about here how man's power is vain. Look there. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. I see here we ought to be in awe of Him because we depend upon Him for deliverance. This is a constant struggle for us as humans, His children even, is that we want to just do this life on our own. We want to fix everything. Is anybody here like that? Like you just want to fix it? Just want to fix it? A lot of us. And if you don't admit it, you do. You just want to get your hands on it and you want to fix it. But listen, I want to tell you something, my friends. We need to realize that can be a tragic mistake. Because man's strength is a vain thing. It's got to be God's strength. Can I, let's just get humble here, okay? Let's just get humble. Listen, folks, can I just put it like this? We can't do anything. I know that's humbling. Say we can't do anything. But the truth is, to do something that means for God, we can't. It's got to be the Lord. It's got to be Him coming into our lives and giving the strength that's needed and asking Him to have great and mighty mercy upon us. Our battles that we're facing daily, the trials, whatever it may be. Listen, people we're praying for, it'll be God that delivers them. It won't be us. If God's going to bring revival to this church, it will not be this church that revives this church. We can get our hands on it and get so much into it where it becomes machinery and we go through the motions and nothing happens. It may be an emotional thing but it passes. But my friends, we want God to be fully involved. Amen. Depend upon His deliverance. We ought to be in awe of God because we realize we are absolutely and totally helpless without Him. You say, preacher, why are you stressing that a little bit? Because I know our tendencies, church. I know my own heart. I'd like to go through this life with just cruising. Almost, I don't come out and say it, but it's almost like I got this. Brinson Jennings, you do not have this. Not even close, never will. It's got to be God working through me. And working through you and working in the lives of others. And we can be channels. We certainly can. And allowing God to work through us. But I will believe it will be by people seeing that we are in awe of Him because we are totally depending upon Him. Then lastly, tonight, look there, verses 18 through 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Listen, I just would like to close with this point. We ought to be in awe of the Almighty because we are hoping in His mercy. His mercy. My hope is in Him tonight. I'm looking to Him. I'm trusting Him. My soul is waiting. Verse 20, that's simply anticipating your confidence that God is working on your behalf. He is working in your life. We are hopeful of His mercy. And that's why you remain in all, my friends. You know what happens when we lose the all of the Almighty? We give up on God. We give up on Him. Well, you know, we've prayed. We've done this. Let's just go on with life. And we lose the all. Oh, God. We know that if we hope in You, You'll have mercy. You may be in a situation where you have lost the all of the Almighty. Can I tell you what you're promised right here at the end of this song? It is the very fact that God's mercy will be in abundant as you hope in Him. Get the all back, my friends. Let Him consume you. Let Him and His power consume your thoughts. I tell you, this is something that's greatly needed in our lives. And I trust that as we lead up even to a special meeting such as revival, I'm not asking, Lord, would You start a revival on August 26th in the AM service. I'm asking God to start a revival right here, right now. We don't schedule revival, but I'm asking God, please prepare our hearts that when Brother Comfort mounts the pulpit with the Word of God, our hearts are already tender. They're already ready to receive His Word. And we're ready to be changed and broken. We're ready to be confronted with the power of God. And then be renewed in our all of Him. That is my prayer, and I hope it is yours. I want to remind you, church, of a couple things that maybe you weren't aware of. But as we prepare for this upcoming revival 2 weeks from today, we have provided 10 prayer requests for genuine revival. It's located in a foyer on the table. I've encouraged our church members and our guests alike to take one of these and pray through this. It's 10 points of soul-searching revival. I encourage you to do that and be tender and let God work in your life mightily. We want God to show Himself strong. God says it in His Word that the world should stand in awe of the Almighty. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying not only will we as a church stand in awe of the Almighty, but I'm praying God would bring people from our community that do not know what it means to have a true relationship with Christ. And that they will just fall in awe of the Almighty. I'm not looking for people to come to this church and be in awe of our facilities. I'm not looking for people to come to this church and to be in awe of our people. I'm not looking for this people to come to this church and be in awe of our fancy activities or whatever it may be. But I'm asking God, would You bring people here to be in awe of You? Mighty Savior. I'm afraid that we got an artificial awe out there today. We got a lot of fancy lights and a lot of fancy concerts and we got a lot of fancy programs and we got a lot of fancy this and fancy that. And I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but I'm telling you folks, we need an authentic awe of the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, help me in this. Oh God, I don't want an artificial awe. Lord, I want to grow in my reverence of You and to You. I want to know, Lord, that You are the great Creator, the great Savior, who is perfectly good in every way possible. That You are in control, my God, and that You deliver us. And You want to be involved in our lives And Lord, we look to You, hoping for Your mercy. For the areas that we are failing You in representing true all. Deal with me, Father. Help me as the under-shepherd of this precious flock. Lord, deal with me and confront me in any way that I am misrepresenting the all that I need to have of You. Lord, I pray for the people here. I pray, God, that they would be sincere in their desire to be in all, to let it transform their life and the lives of those around them. Lord, that's something I know people notice, is when we have a serious, reverential fear of You. Would You help us now, Lord, and would You guide us? Even in this invitation time, I ask Your blessings.